Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic, RL what you see. Example, the voices. You know that extra weight is not good for you. How about a fitness class? I have too much to do. Can't get on that long bike ride. Maybe I can do it next weekend. I can't stick to a fitness regimen. I don't have any willpower. Sure, fitness is important, but I just don't enjoy it, and I'm not going to do it. The eyes, healthy. You know that extra weight is not good for you. How about a fitness class? Workaholic. I have too much to do. Can't go on that long bike ride. Maybe I can do it next weekend. Resigned. I can't stick to a fitness regimen. I don't have any willpower. Rebel. Sure, fitness is important, but I just don't enjoy it, and I'm not going to do it. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here in Kent.
Hello, Colin.
Yes, I've been on the go all day today. You slightly caught me on the hop here, but I did look at this morning before I went out, and there's somebody there who's taking all these problems on his shoulders, listening to ego about how bad it all is and everything that's wrong, and there's like a volunteer who said, I'll take that on and sort that out and be really miserable trying to correct it all and make it right again. So I was noticing that this morning.
That is so perfect. The perfect part is, I'll take that on and get thoroughly miserable in the process. Right? That's the orientation that ego is most supportive of, right? And then take it on. And this. And what about that problem? And what are you going to do about that? And how about that? Okay, that's fine. But what about that? And you can just see this poor guy kind of like a beast of burden, right? He's just getting shorter and shorter and shorter as more piles on him.
And it's like willing that it's all right, I'll take that on, I'll do all that, and of course, and none of it is anything really to do with me anyway. It's all ego, what ego's story about what I should be doing, and so that's another part of it is seeing ego as the authority about what is wrong in the world and what I need to take on,
if I may, that is so important universally, right? Ego's role is to point out problems and tell us that we have to solve them. But if ego weren't pointing out problems, we wouldn't have anything to solve. Right? So it's that relationship that we're getting clear about.
Yes, that's right. I'm not even sure. You know, he's telling me that I need to do all this, you know, loads and all this exercise. I'm not really sure that's true, really. I was just jumping up and down a bit today, as I'm jumping up curbstones and things like that and running upstairs today, and just really enjoying that, to be honest, and found it was giving me quite an energy boost. I was feeling very sort of tired, and just sort of skipping up a few steps and things was... kind of just seemed to be the boost I needed. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, really, really lifted me.
And again, you know, here he is, and this voice is just, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. And then we wonder why we feel defeated, why we feel burdened and not really enthusiastic and excited. And then, you know, you kind of let a little kid take over and start running upstairs and jumping up curbs, and suddenly the energy is there. But it's not actually because of the movement. It's because the attention is turned away from negativity and to the present, to what you're really enjoying, to where you are.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. Yes. Oh, okay. So, it's dropping all that, having to carry around all the weight of that negativity. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. Yes. So there's a lightening there of just dropping it and letting
it
go.
And in that lightning, you want to run up the stairs because you have all that energy, all that life energy, and you enjoy it and it feels good.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, it did. Yes, absolutely. And I was just noticing, and then there was this voice coming in saying, "Well, you can't run when you've got shoes and long trousers on. You have to have shorts and trainers, so you can't run." So, and I can run with shoes on.
Yeah.
And
when we were kids, we ran in our school shoes, and if there was a puddle in the way. All the better for it, right? So,
Yes. So, there you are. You said it's been a really fun day today already, and we're only on, was it three, day three or something?
Yet.
I just started. So, So that's been really, really great day today. Really enjoyed that.
Oh,
so thank you
I'm
for that.
Glad. All right.
Yeah, it's
thank
been lovely.
You,
thanks.
Fun.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. You know, Sherry, there's something that was dropping in around that call that I hadn't seen before. One of the things that we were looking at in the focus is how that the moving the body as it was designed to do assists the body, right, takes care of the body and assists it for optimal functioning.
Uh-huh.
There's a way in which when we move, the energy is in the body rather than in conditioned mind, which is why we're not allowed to move. Actually, the body wasn't designed for attention to be on conditioned mind all the time.
Right.
And so when we switch the attention to movement, as Colin was just describing, the energy comes back into the body.
Yes. Yes.
And that,
and then
it
feels great.
Right. Not moving is a way to keep the energy on conditioning. Movement,
absolutely.
I think you say this in the depression book, is always the way to have the energy back into life.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then,
go ahead.
Well, and then that place that everyone was talking about yesterday, that when you're moving, also to have attention on awareness so that the movement is not mindless. That there's that the switch from attention on conditioning to attention here to movement allows the shift in attention that gives the body back the energy, and then we have to keep the attention there, right, while we're moving.
Well, yes, because you bring us to an important point. One of the things conditioned mind wants to do. Okay, so you're running up a flight of stairs, and then it wants to introduce a problem. That has nothing to do with where you are. You trip and break your nose, right?
Yes.
That's a real coup for ego, because then, of course, that you can't do that kind of thing. It's dangerous. Well, no, running upstairs is not dangerous. Not paying attention to what you're doing is dangerous.
That's right, and it always comes down to that. Not paying attention is dangerous, but what ego does is to equate it with the movement or the activity or the task rather than a lack of paying attention, because it never wants us to get to, lack of paying attention is always the issue.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, very fun. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Oh. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Janice standing on one foot.
Oh. Having a little technology difficulty this morning?
No, I don't know why it does that. Sometimes I'm wondering if it's me and so somebody saying you're unmuted, but I can't hear that. But no, I'm standing on one foot because that's part of my practice. I decided that for this month I'm going to focus on balance and stretching. And
Wonderful.
Sometimes I think, well, I already go to this wonderful yoga, you know, either I'm signed up for two classes, but sometimes on new moon and full moon we have an extra. And sometimes there's some other event and I show up. And you go, of course, would like to say between that and walking, that is enough. There's nothing more you need to do.
Oh, absolutely. That is enough. You should just sit in a chair for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have experimented for a long time with how I listen to the, you know, the year-long retreat morning in, you know, being here in the present at the time it's being broadcast, most often in the queue, but it just depends what the situation is. And I find that it seems I listen better if I'm still, if I'm not doing something or I'm not somewhere where there's other things going around that are distracting. But I decided I don't have to, so I'm in my home, I'm in my space where I do this, and I don't have to sit. I can stand on one leg, and then I'm practicing my balance, and then I'm standing on the other leg, and then I'm listening, and then I'm doing another kind of like a calf stretch or something.
Well, what you're pointing at to me is you're practicing, yes, you're practicing balance and that sort of thing, but what you're really practicing is expanded awareness. So instead of attention getting pulled into, you know, people want to multitask, which we've established is not possible, right? But the voices will say, well, you know, you're going to listen to the show. That's a half hour out of your day. I mean, you could do the dishes. You could, you know, whatever it is that you could finish up this little task on the computer while you listen. Well, probably not, because that is an opening for conditioned mind to distract us.
Yeah,
right?
That's my
experience. What you're practicing is expanded awareness. So you're, instead of sitting, you are standing on one foot, right? And you can you can do that because attention is moving between your balance and listening, right? And there's nothing to say you would be more attentive if you were sitting and listening, because we can also be distracted when we're just sitting. But if you believe that just sitting means you're not distracted, then you can be distracted and never notice it.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Isn't it good to switch it up?
Yeah. Well, yes, if you're doing it consciously, which
you
are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Very fun.
It's just so much fun. Yeah, and I can see there is one of the, I don't know if it's a subpersonality. Sometimes I'm just not sure if it just is an ego, but it's been there since I was a child that my body is not flexible. And I notice that my body's quite flexible going bending backwards, but not forwards. And I thought, it's just like, oh, yeah, ego has me bending backwards all the time, you know,
bending over backwards,
you know.
There could be something in that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that one of the things I really love about the particular yoga that I do is we do it with our eyes closed. So it reminds me of the privileged environment. And so any kind of comparing, it's gone. It's just gone. It's only this body. And what I noticed when I went last night is that actually I sat and I felt like I sat lower to the ground and with a few fewer props, and I was actually comfortable. And that was a change, like, it's very subtle, but instead of saying, there will be no change, or expecting a change. It was just like it kind of manifested that I noticed that, oh, change has happened.
Yeah. Yes. Well, awareness. It never lets us down, does it? It
yeah.
just never lets us down. When we're here, when we're present, we will see, and we will see so much more than we ever thought we would see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
so
you,
interesting. Janice. Yeah, uh-huh. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks, Janice. Oh, so many good points in that, Sherry, and the one that also dropped in was that training principle, that conditioning always wants us to, it's what Rebecca was talking about, carve out some time to do this thing, which we'll never have time for, right? Uh-huh. So if I have to go to the gym, it has to be 45 minutes, but I can never find the 45 minutes to do that. And what you and Janice were talking about, if balance is what I want to practice, I can actually practice balance anytime during the day, just as I can skip up the stairs or dance my way to the kitchen or any of those things. That fitness, mm-hmm. if we want to be fit in our lives, you want to know how to balance when you are, coming down the stairs or reaching for something or those kinds of things. And that way in which we are, the mind slots us into, this is what counts as a practice of balance, an hour of yoga in a particular pose, but this is not. And to just bust that belief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the point you're making is we have to be here to do it. Right?
That's
it
right.
all depends on being here. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah. That expanded awareness that you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it all drops in, and then we do it. Mm-hmm. I've been standing, mm-hmm. practicing standing on one foot since Janice mentioned it. I'm going to add that
all
to
right.
my repertoire too.
Sounds good. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I'm really enjoying the show today and getting so much out of it. So I've been kind of fascinated watching as we've been practicing this month, I've been noticing that there's kind of a fair amount of discomfort in my body, especially near the end of the day from interacting with screens, like my neck and shoulders and my hands hurt. And the voices will criticize me for that, like, it's my fault. I'm overusing them. And it just occurred to me when I was like kind of transcribing the voices, it's like, but I don't think it's not totally self-hate to be like, you know, to just be observing that basic discomfort and just, there's sort of a compassionate awareness that's like, oh, this is kind of hurting. I wonder, you know, we use screens for work and that. Yeah.
Right. And it presents it like it's your fault, right? So just to mess with it, Sandy, you can say, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. This working with screens, this is not it. I need to change careers. And watch it just go crazy, right? Because it wants to make you feel bad and blame you for doing what it is that you do to earn your living. Not to say, wow, you know, that really is hard on a human body. So let's come up with ways to take care of the body as during the workday.
Yes.
Right? Because that's
unacceptable.
You're supposed to start out the day, okay, you're fine. Then tense up, get more tense, don't move, get more tense, and then get a beating at the end of the day because you hurt.
Yes. When we talk about it this way, it just becomes so obvious that, like, sometimes I just am amazed by like how insane ego is and how amazing it is that I would ever believe it. Like I personally should feel ashamed for the invention of computers or like, I don't know, like how,
yes.
how, but,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. And yes, it is. It is insane. And it is astonishing that we get fooled into, but it is the power of brainwashing, right? So that process has been going on with you and the rest of us all of our lives, right? We have been made to feel bad and guilty for stuff that has nothing to do with us, right? Until it doesn't even catch our attention. It's just, well, if you hurt, it must be your fault. You must be doing something wrong, right? And so now you've caught on to that process. Now you can say, well, okay, this is what I do for a living, and I'm probably going to keep doing it for a while. So how can I do it in a way that doesn't take a toll on this fabulous body that enables me to do this? Right? How do I take care of the body in this situation?
Yes, yes. And what's coming to my mind is like if I were if I was a miner, it would be okay to care for my body around my work, the toll of my workplace. But even being
sit in the chair, Sandy.
What's that? Come on.
You sit in a chair all day. I mean, come
exactly.
on. What do you have to complain about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think somebody shared a couple of days ago, like, I don't do anything.
Like, right?
Yeah. But this
you
is
can't
doing
take care
something.
Of yourself. You don't do anything. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And, you know, the thing that you said that I think is, you know, we all have to keep right up at the top of our conscious awareness is ego is insane. So if you know you're talking to a person who is insane, that's really important information, right? And don't look to a person who is insane for life advice and guidance. And yet, that's what we've been trained to do.
Yes, yes. And meanwhile, I can see through kind of the cracks of ego, like life has had these different, like, oh, it could be kind of fun if we did this or we did that. Like the first
yes.
caller was talking about like, oh, we could go, you know, and here's a
mm-hmm.
way we can get exercise. That'd be fun. It there's
mm-hmm.
really no need to figure it out, just to listen.
That's right. That's it, in those cracks, right?
Yeah.
So ego is as fast as it can go about everything that's going on every minute of the day. But when we look for those little gaps between the thoughts, little gaps in ego's conversation, here comes the light. Here comes the guidance. All we have to do is look for it, listen to it, and follow it. Yeah. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks, Sandy. The two things that dropped in about that, Cherry, is how much we're trained into going with what conditioning says and never questioning it. So
yes.
this practice of looking at the voices and the beliefs and assumptions is actually a training exercise for us to pay attention to what we just go along with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that awareness actually... Go ahead.
No, you finish that. I thought you finished.
Well, and that the awareness that Sandy is pointing to that is constantly informing us, when we pay attention to it without the layer, so the way conditioning mutates that is that awareness arises and it gets attached to the self-hate, to the judgment.
Yes.
It's your that's wrong, it's your fault, right? The judgment and
yeah.
the self-hate follow so quickly that that's one of the ways in which we don't pay attention because we just go straight to feeling bad. And so
yeah.
it's a combination of using the training to always question and then not to question within the framework of judgment and self-hate is really something we can train ourselves into because that's how
yes.
awareness operates.
Yes. And recording and listening is our training tool because
yes.
over and over we say and hear one another say, when you hear it out loud, right, when you say it out loud and then you hear it, you can hear how crazy it is. But inside the head, because we're so programmed to believe it's true, it sounds right. So when it's important to record what we're listening to and then listen back to it and see if we can hear the insanity in it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Carol who was saying that yesterday, that so we have to train to get it outside of our head, because otherwise the insanity and the absurdity of it doesn't actually register, because we're just in it.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All right, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lori in the Bay Area.
Hello, Lori. What are you saying?
And I'm kind of laughing because I put myself in the queue most days, and today I was doing that. And then for the whole call, this electrician has been in and out of my apartment turning the electricity off and on, and I thought, oh, gosh, I'm glad I didn't get through. And so, but
bar
now
the,
he's gone.
Oh, I was going to say bar the door, but he...
I know, yes. Well, now I will, although I think, I don't know. I don't know if he's done, but anyway.
He's so, not coming back till the show is over.
That's right. So I am just, I'm pulled in a lot of directions. It's interesting. I really delighted in the food month, and physical fitness has always been something I've felt very good about, except now that I had this back injury and can't do what I used to do. And when I saw the focus come up, I just thought it was a surprise to me. I thought, oh no, I don't even want to look at this. I don't want to go here. I don't want to see where I've come to on this topic. But it's great in that I'm seeing some parts that, you know, all the regular parts are there, but there are some other parts I have not been aware of that have shown up. Like I noticed, there is an athlete here who the body has betrayed her, but it doesn't mean she's not an athlete. She's still an athlete. It's just it doesn't look like that or behave like that anymore.
Yes. Well, and I always I just watch the hackles raise. When we talk about the body betraying us, because most of us, now I don't know about you, but most of us have betrayed the body since we decided to go with conditioned mind. And it's not that that was a conscious decision. So we're not, you know, what they're trying to do to Sandy, right? Oh, well, you did that to survive and now it's your fault and you have to live in self-hatred. But we turned our back on the body in order to go along with the process of socialization. And the body just became an instrument, something for us to use to get ego's needs met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually looked back and realized how much self-hate has come alive through how I've treated my body my whole life.
Oh, yes. And I would say, Lori, how self-hate has treated your body.
Right? Thank you. Yeah.
And we just went along with it because we were so deeply conditioned to believe we should. You know, you have to look a certain way. You have to present yourself in a certain way. And the body is a big part of that, right? So do whatever you need to do to it to make it look the way it needs to look. Then it needs to move the way it needs to move. Then it needs to, right? So if you're at computers, then the arms need to do this, and the back and the neck and the shoulders, and tough. You just need to gut it out and do what you. So we've been, most of us identified with ego have been abusing the body since probably about age 3, maybe a little later if you're, you were lucky. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
even beyond that, self-hate has that's where I've seen it the most earlier when I was still active was the feeling of just hatred toward this body. Like you will do what I tell you to do and you will not complain and you will.
And then the body finally says enough, and that same voice says, and now the body has betrayed me. It's like, you know, you beat that mule for long enough, one of these days it's going to die. And that's just all there is to it. And we are like a mule. The body is like a mule for ego. So realizing that, then, again, you know, back to Sandy, we get to see, well, what are the subtle ways? So you have a back injury. And now it can be really exciting to see, all right, well, how can I take care of a body that has a back injury? What are all of the things that are possible for me to do to help this body be as fit and strong as it can be while there is a back injury?
That is my daily challenge, yes.
Yes.
That, along with, I love our assignments that remind me, you know, we're practicing unconditional love and acceptance, and I think
yes.
That is what this is calling forth from me.
Yes.
Like, I can't say, I'm only going to like you if you look like this and can do this, and
right.
I can't say that. So
no, you can't let ego do that to her any longer.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and I keep thinking that, you know, yes, that's true.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it is going to win this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the sense that,
getting that
it's going to call the shots. It's going to say when it's over. And we can be resisting and whining and kicking and screaming and whatever we want to do, but it is going. That is where the decision is going to be made. When it stops breathing, when that heart stops beating, that's it. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And all my belief about control is just not.
Yep.
It's just not.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we might as well give it up now and enjoy the time we have. Yeah. All
mm-hmm.
right. Well, thank you, Lori.
Oh, thank you for this. This is a wonderful way I get to still be connected to Sangha, and I'm so grateful for it and for everybody.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Me too.
So, thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. And it just keeps coming down to that, right, Cherry? It's the battle between ego and life. We keep identifying with the ego. The ego wants to be in control. The ego has ideas about its ability to survive without the body. It's always a fight for supremacy or a battle for supremacy with the ego. And the intelligence just continues to be the intelligence. And as you said, it wins in the end.
Yes.
There's a way in which that's such a relief, actually.
Yes. Well, then we can be good sports, truly, and accept defeat now,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is the only way we'll ever actually win.
And the fact that it hosts our ability to arrive to it in unconditional love, that's its gift to us, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes us choose love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That brings us to the end of the show, and here's our assignment. Our definition of a subpersonality aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs and assumptions and projections with a unique worldview and a distinct language. Assignment. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview. Record and listen to what you see. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. Example, workaholic's worldview is work needs to come before everything else. What I do is who I am. Prioritizing work makes me the good, right person.
All right. Well, mañana.
Mañana. Thank you, Sherry. Go happy,
Thank
everyone.
You, Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.